try to talk a little bit about some of the klal in terms of the other sukkahs. So last year we spoke a little bit about Teshuvah King Tadu. We'll talk about it a little bit again this year, and maybe touch on some things from last year, maybe not. I have no idea what we said last year. Of course, anyway, there's no very few guys last year. The Gemara tells us in Sefer Sukkah that there's one basic klal in the midst of Sukkah. There's one underlying principle, and that's about Sukkah's Teshuvah Shem Yomim. What does the word teshu mean? And teshu means teshu against the duru. It means you have to sit in the sukkah in the same way that you live in your house during the course of the year. So that plow, teshu against the duru, that becomes the calling card for the entire health of the sukkah. Everything has to do with the mitzvah of the sukkah, all revolves around, is it called teshu against the duru or not? Since in the Rambam, it is that the Dhamma to Perish of Mishnayos. So he gives you a whole background as to how Torah Shabbat Peh, what's it all about, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah Shabbat Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu, how Moshe Rabbeinu was the most written to Yisrael. So the Rambam wants to give you an example of how the Besiris HaTorah took place on days of Moshe Rabbeinu, is basically Mar Ne'erevin. So the Rambam says that Moshe Rabbeinu took a mitzvah, Kishma gave a mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu took the mitzvah, and he gave the Torah Shabbat Saf to Klal Yisrael, he read them to them what the Pesukim were. And then he explained to them the Alpeh, all the basic dinim of the mitzvah. And they went mitzvah by mitzvah, mitzvah by mitzvah. So the Rambam takes this example, the marshal mitzvah of Sukkah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Pasukah station should be Yom, so Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them those words into the Sefer Torah. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu, what does that mean? What is a Sukkah? What does Teshu mean? So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that the word Teshu means Teshu came to Duru, and therefore the following halacha is the truth. And Moshe Rabbeinu told us that pasuk to Klal Yisrael, and then he told them also Teshuvah get to do. So the Rambam's example for a classic Torah Shabbat Saf, Torah Shabbat Peh, the mitzvah of Sukkah. It's very few words. There's only four words. The Sukkah Teshuvah Shabbat Yom, and there's so much. You have to know what a Sukkah, you have to know what Teshuvah means, etc. So that's what we're doing. So we're just continuing the Masechta. 3,500 years later, we're saying the same thing. The Sukkah Teshuvah Shabbat Yom. So we'll try to understand what exactly that phrase Teshuvah means. So the Gemara says that just as in a person's house, so there's certain activities that a person usually does in his house. So one of those activities, so achila is usually done in the house, and shena is usually done in the house, sleep is usually done in the house. So therefore, the halacha requires in sukkahs that all of those types of dira-oriented activities, such as achila, shtiya, shena, have to be done in the sukkah. One who does any of those activities with the sukkah is mevalt of the smitzvah. It's not a violation of the law. It doesn't say lo sukkah, but it's a violation that I say is mevalt of the say. The best of the stage should be Yom. The Mishnah tells us in the Sukkah that this cloud that what has to be Ochel, Shosen, Yashin in the Sukkah, so it's not always true. That the only time one has to eat in the Sukkah is only if it's an Achilas Keva, it's an Achilas Aroi, so one need not eat in the Sukkah. What's the beer on the wash that himself? The place explains that the halacha is that you have to do everything that you would normally do in your house, you have to do in the Sukkah. But there are some things during the course of the year that you don't do in the house, there's some things that you do on the run. So whatever you would do on the run the whole year, so you're allowed to do on the run on Sukkot also, because your Sukkot doesn't have to be any Muhammad in your house. So that's what Tos explained. That's how Chazal figured out this Mishnah, that Achilas Keva, sit down and have a whole meal, so that normal people don't eat on the run. Normal people eat in the house. Some people eat in their car. Okay, let's take the house temporarily. But when it comes to the snacks, the Achilas Aroi, so it's very normal for people to eat on the run, people to eat outside. So since you would think you would do that during the course of the year, you would think twice about it. So it did not be permitted to do that in Sukkah as well. So Tosha says the whole chilus in halacha, between achilas keva and achilas aroi, is based on this idea that it has to be teshuva came to duru. So what exactly is the halacha in terms of what constitutes achilas keva, what constitutes achilas aroi? So the halacha has to be understood in twofold. First of all, you have to understand in terms of what types of food you're eating, and then number two, you have to figure out how much of that food you're eating. So the Mishnah describes that a person eats pas, lechem is usually synonymous with an achilas keva. Sit down, wash, fetch, a meal. Usually in halacha that's considered to be an achilas keva. So comes the Mishnah and says, not necessarily, but if you just take a bite out of a slice of a bread, so that's not called an achilas keva. So how much is considered to be achilas keva? So the Gemara says, a kazayis is not enough. A kazayis is considered to be achilas halacha, but it's not an achilas keva. So how much is an achilas keva? More than a kaveitza. So up until a kibetza, including a kibetza, one can theoretically eat chutz to sukkah. There's really nothing wrong with eating a chutz to sukkah. Once you have a little bit more than a kibetza, then already you're entering into the territory of an achilas keva. That would be also in a Torah to have chutz to sukkah. So that's the shiur that the Mishnah gives. So then the Gemara goes on and explains that not only is one required to eat bread in the sukkah, there are other types of food that one is also required to eat in the sukkah. So an example of the foods that a person is required to eat in the sukkah, the Gemara says mina tagima. Whoever falls under the category of halacha of mina tagima has to be eaten in the sukkah. Whoever is not mina tagima, so need not be eaten in the sukkah. The Mishnah then says that it's considered to be a minus chasidus, eat everything in the sukkah. You can't. I'm not talking about the Mishnah tells a story about one of the tanoim who was given a cup of water and he refused to drink it in the house. He insisted on going to the sukkah. Well, that's already a chum of yama. It's a chachiva, but it's not the ikar adin. So what constitutes mina tagima? What kind of food is considered to be mina tagima? So the Rishonim, what kinds of food fall under mina tagima? With the understanding being that whatever is not mina tagima is not going to be chayav itself at all. So Rashi learns the biggest chumra. Rashi learns that mina tagima means fruit. So most of the Rishonim disagree with that. Most of the Rishonim assume that even if a person eats a lot of fruit, so he's not going to be chayav itself. The fruit is not even, it's not pas, it's not even mina tagima. So it's always, no matter how much food you eat, you eat 20 apples, that's always considered to be by definition an achilas haroi. We have some yank that's still called an achilas haroi. So what is mina tagim if it's not fruit? So some of the Rishonim say that it's considered to be foods that are usually eaten together with a meal. The meal is like fish, meat, cheese, things like that. Things which are burned, the lapis, the pas, so those things are considered to be mina tagim. So if a person has a piece of chicken, so then you would have to eat that piece of chicken in the sukkah. If you have just fruit, according to the Minna parents, then you're not required to eat that in the sukkah. So comes the Rosh and says, even that's the Shabbos, not true. Not only is Rashi not correct, that fruit is not even considered to be Minna Tagima, says the Rosh. Even a Minna parents who says that more solid types of food, more filling type of food is also not Minna Tagima. What is Minna Tagima? So says the Rosh, the only thing that qualifies as Minna Tagima is something that you make a mezonos on, something from the Chameshas Minna Dagon. So that's already considered to be a Michael Choshev, that's already close to bread. So then and only then is it considered to be a Mina Tagima. Anything else, short of a Notzi and Mazonos, so make your din, we'll eat as much as you want, and one need not eat it in the sukkah. So how do we pass the law in this Nechlakis? So make your din, we pass like the Rosh. We're not passing like the Rosh. So the Chorinim say that nice thing to be trying to be Machka, maybe at least probably the parents. Rashi already is a very big Chumrah. If someone said, like, I should try to be machmir not to eat the fish and meat and cheese and like that out of the sukkah. But in the ink, then we pass that whatever is not mezonos is not a problem. Within those things that are chayav and sukkah, within those types of foods that are chayav and sukkah, let's say foods and mezonos, cereals and pastas, cakes, things like that, how much must one eat in order to be chayav and sukkah? Because remember we said at the beginning that in order to be labeled as a chilas keva, it has to have two. It has to be a specific type of food, and it has to be a specific amount. So how much of this pasta and cereal do you have to eat in order to be chayav in sukkah? So the Magen Avraham says the shear is the same as bread, so just as my bread, the cut off point is a kabeitz of the oat, so too, but you have a pasta, if you have a big bowl of pasta, so you would be mechomer to eat that in the sukkah. Less than a kabeitz, it's not going to be mechomer, pasta is not going to be mechomer than bread, and the Magen Avraham claims it's not going to be more kala either. And then the Acharon, but most of the Acharon disagree with the Magen Avraham and say that's not true. That the definition of achilas keva and other types of foods doesn't really depend on a shia per se. There's no objective shia like a kibetza. Rather, it depends on the context. What does that mean? So it depends whether you're eating it, the Torah, to fill yourself up. This is like you're being convey yourself to eat this as a meal, or most can say. You get together with a lot of people, you sit down, you have a whole cereal, a whole pasta party together. So that's considered to be achilas keva. The guy just grabs in between meals, he's grabbing a snack of a pasta or something, so that would be a problem. So what would that translate to mean for us? Well, let's say you don't accept the Magen Avraham, let's say a guy wants to eat a bowl of cereal. So if you eat a bowl of cereal out of the sukkah, so the chayav will depend. And if, assuming that it's a mezonos type of a cereal, so if he wants to eat his raisin bread out of the sukkah, so the chayav will depend. But he eats it for breakfast. So this is Ramesh's breakfast, he's sitting down, there's Pas Shacharis. So then, yes, no, that should be a problem. That's considered to be a Suda. But she ain't kidding, a guy, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, the guy eats up already. But before he goes to sleep, he grabs a little bit of cereal from Machad. So even though he may technically eat more than a conveyance of cereal, according to many Acharon, that wouldn't be a problem. That technically speaking, would be permitted to eat, to be Chutzla Sofa. So that's a shot of the Hapaskin. You know, like the Magen Avraham, there's an absolute shia when it comes to the Zelda, the same shia as a Motzi. Well, you have to go according to the time and place in terms of what the context is. So, Bechor, one doesn't lose anything by going to the Sukkah. I mean, you should try to eat everything in the Sukkah, so why should you risk? Why should you take any chances? So, in a Chanat Milad, the person should try to always eat everything in the Sukkah. But there is a shaila in terms of the bracha. Why is it a problem? because it's machlekes rishonim. When do you make a bracha on yeshivas yeshiva basukha? So many rishonim held, the Rambam held that as soon as you go into the sukkah, so you get into the mitzvah, you don't eat anything. It's a key matter of the serious nature of shiva's yom. It means to be in the sukkah as much as you can. So just you go into the sukkah, you see the house. So you see, one for 5 minutes, you can make a bracha without a problem.
But Rabbi Nadab said, is it only a mitzvah then to actually,
no, so the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says that the mitzvah, it's not called a bittul mitzvah if you eat out of the sukkah, but kol zman you're in the sukkah, it's not going to be a mitzvah. So living in the sukkah is much, the more the better, the more you live in the sukkah, the better it is.
It's eating, it's not a mitzvah.
The mitzvah is being in the sukkah, you're not mechuyif to be in the sukkah, so it's not a mitzvah chiyuvus of sukkah. It's not chiyuvus of sukkah. So comes the Rambam and says that if a person goes into the sukkah, every you can have anything, you can make a bracha without a problem. Or Rabbi Natan disagrees with Natan, says that you only make a bracha when you eat in the sukkah, not when you go in the stomach. You only make a bracha when you eat something that's mechuyev in sukkah. If you just stop going and have a cup of water, so Rabbi Natan Pashtun would say that you don't make a bracha then. That the Chalas HaChamim was to only make the bracha the ikar yeshiva in the sukkah, which is achilu, which is chayav. So most of us follow the minhag of Rabbi Natan. So we follow Rabbi Natan's minhag that we try to limit the bracha of yeshiva sukkah only to something which is mechuyev in sukkah. But sometimes you have a problem. So let's say a guy wants to go have a snack in the sukkah in the middle of the night. So is he real? No, not. His stomach's sleeping in the sukkah. Let's say in the middle of the day or something. He's going to grab a snack or something. So should he make the yeshiva sukkah? Not. So according to the Rambam, why do you make the yeshiva sukkah? It's according to Rabbi Natan. So it all depends. So if you're mamish mechuyev in the sukkah, so you make the yeshiva sukkah. You're not mechuyev in the sukkah. Then maybe you shouldn't be making the leishah b'sukkah. So sometimes maybe you have to go the extra mile to eat extra. So it costs you a lot of calories in sukkah. So it's going to become a very very filling yom. If you want to always follow the tam sheet, every time you go into the sukkah, you have to start to wash the bench. So it can become quite an ordeal. So the poskim say that what is that mechuyev to make a leishah b'sukkah every time you go in? The regular rules of hefsek mitzvah apply to leishah b'sukkah also. So let's say a person made a leishah b'sukkah for breakfast. And then he goes out of the sukkah for a little bit. And he comes back 20 minutes later, now he wants to sit in the sukkah. He's not interested in eating anything more. So he shouldn't feel bad that, oh no, now he's not making a bracha. If the original bracha is still chal, that because it wasn't the hefsek, it wasn't as chadas, so the original bracha is still intact. So whatever the klal above a regular bracha is, so what's the klal? So there was a machlekes to the chaver and the Rama in Hilchos Tzitzis and in Hilchos Tfilin. What's the lach? A person makes a bracha, is in the middle of doing a mitzvah, and then they stop the mitzvah for a couple of minutes, and then they pick it up again 5 minutes later. So you have to make a new bracha now. So the Gemara in the Sefer simply tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, so one time he had a stomach problem, so he was wearing tefillin, and he had to go to the bathroom, so he took his tefillin off, and then when he came back to the Spanish, he made another bracha on his tefillin. So he comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, what do you see for that story? So you see that whenever you have a hefsek in a mitzvah, so when you pick the mitzvah up, even though it's 5 minutes later, you have to make another bracha. And the Rambam says, no, you don't see anything in that story. The Rambam says, that was a special din by tefillin, because since tefillin you're not allowed to wear in the bathroom, so the halacha forces you to take the tefillin off. So when you put it back on again, so that's considered like a new halacha's tefillin. So since there was an interim of a few minutes, we weren't permitted by the halacha to wear the tefillin, so therefore you have to make a new bracha. But let's say, says the Rambam, say a guy takes off his tefillin for 5 minutes, because, I don't know, he gets a pump line or something happens, he wants to go across the street, he gets something, he doesn't want to walk around on his tefillin, so he wasn't required to take his tefillin off. So as long as he took the tefillin off, he had it bind, put it back on again pretty soon, that does not constitute a hefsek. And then the same machlokes repeats itself with the tzitzis, but the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person's wearing a pair of tzitzis, it takes it off for 5 minutes to go take a shower, so the Shulchan Aruch says you have to make a new bracha. You were planning on putting them back right away, and you did put them back on right away, doesn't matter, you still have to make a new bracha. And the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says, as long as you took them off, I'll bask to put them back on again, and you put them back on again pretty soon, so then you don't have to make a new bracha. So it's hard to know what's called pretty soon.
Would that
have
other mitzvahs as well?
Very much
in terms of the halacha
forcing
you to staff
in this. Yeah, like one other
mitzvah is very, very few
mitzvahs
like that.
I'd
say another mitzvah comes up, you have to do it now. Someone else
can
do it.
Also, mitzvah could be, you don't have to do the other mitzvah.
Right.
Mitzvah comes
your way,
no, there's a different point. The din of hefsek bebrichas as sukkah and bebrichas as mitzvah is not the exact same.
Yeah.
Right, that's the problem. Yes, that was a kasha. I don't know if we've talked about this kasha last year, but we mentioned kasha about the bedroom. This I never exactly understood. So the sounds from the pashas and the shabura that Eilam is knowing this way. So we generally follow the Ramah on this channel. So first off, I'm eating the sukkah at lunch. So then I go out for 5 minutes and I come back, so I don't make another wish in the sukkah. So that's according to Shulchan Aruch, maybe you shouldn't, according to the Ramah, unless you don't. So let's say I have to leave the sukkah to go to the bathroom. So the folks say, I don't want to go to the bathroom in the sukkah. That's a bizarre in the sukkah. So the chore, that should be the same as tefillin. Just as tefillin is b'chayim you to take the tefillin off, so if you shoot the sukkah, the cover of the sukkah is b'chayim you to leave the sukkah. So now I should say, when I come back to the sukkah, that's like I have to chadar, but that's chadar, so you're required to make a new bracha. Nobody does that. Nobody in the world does that. I don't know, I'm not sure what the chiluk is. I'll figure out what exactly there's a chiluk. So again, so if a person is hanging out in the sukkah most of the time, so then the shadar of the time around really doesn't come up. It's a good barometer whether I'm having a productive chalamoy in terms of learning. It's usually how many relationship with sukkahs I make. So if I make a lot of relationship with sukkahs, that's a bad sign. That means I'm always leaving the sukkah or something. If I get up in the morning and daven and come and eat breakfast, make one relationship with sukkah, and then I'm there the entire day, yes, I come out, in and out of here and there, but I'm basically there the whole day. And I don't have to make another relationship with sukkah for the following day. So that's usually a pretty good sign. But usually the problem is when you have to come out to go play a little ball with the kids, then you have to come back to the kids to the circus, then you go to the zoo, and you do this, and then every 5 minutes you make an relationship with sukkah. That means maybe it's a wonderful mitzvah in the shanta, but it's usually not such a good mitzvah in terms of yeshiva sukkah. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So there is a nice machlokes with Tam in the Rambam about can you really make a relationship with sukkah in a situation where you're not really in the chuy of in the sukkah. So to follow that Rabbi Tam, it's important to keep in mind that machlokes among the Rambam and others. Usually with the Eilim is knowing people to visit somebody else's sukkah, so they'll come to make a mezainis, or they'll have some cookies or something, so even though it wasn't necessarily that kriyas, so sometimes can have they maybe pass another kiss and it's even more chomer than mezainis. There's a hierarchy of halacha between pastas and cereals on the one hand, and cookies and cakes on the other. In the cake, so if you would have enough of that, if you'd have enough cookies and cakes, you'd be required to bench, and that's considered to be pass above the kiss. Whereas if you'd have enough cereal and pasta, you'd have 100 bowls of pasta, and you still don't bench. Maybe one can argue that even according to those who disagree with the Magen Avraham, maybe possibly have a kiss and you have a kibbutz for that, maybe that's good enough. That's what the Eilam is knowing about Kiddush is on Shabbos morning, or Shabbos morning, after the morning, so they go down to the sukkah after davening, and so those who wash right away, so matzah, and those who don't wash right away, so they'll make a burger muffin, and they'll have some cake, they'll sit down and make a leishah for sukkah, and then they'll leave the sukkah for an hour, and they'll come back an hour later for lunch. So happen to make that leishah the sukkah, all you had was a little bit of a cake. So the Mishabur said that that's not terrible, he says, because first of all, one thing about a rum, it's alright, it's more than a pervasive cake, it's okay. And one can also argue that cake is even better than other mizonos, so maybe even those that disagree with the Magen Avraham by pastas would be molded by cakes. And maybe you can argue even more that since it's being done for the purpose of Kiddush, Melachos Suda, so maybe that's like a kviyah. So that in and of itself gives it a concept a little bit more of a kviyah. So maybe one can rely on its chus, and those people will make a relation of the sukkahs under those circumstances. All these chilukim that we find in halacha between pas and mezonos on the one hand, in contrast to fruit and other things, this is all based on that one qualification we came to do. That everything is pounded into what a person would do in their house. But the assumption is that a person wouldn't eat, wouldn't sit down and have a zan meal, chutz leveso, so therefore they would be required to eat those things in the sukkah. So there are some ones that be older that maybe because man has said the mitzvah has changed. Because maybe in the olden days, so bread was very, bread and mizonos, those were very kvius oriented. Because bizman is that, bizman is not kvius oriented. If you grab a cookie on the run, a guy eats a muffin, a guy's running across for eating a donut, so guys do it all the time. Because the whole industry of Dunkin' Donuts, nobody sits down and eats Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, you take them, you grab them, and you run. So maybe one can argue that Zonos was manazel not so kavu anymore, since the Zonos is the type of a thing that manazel we do chutzpah they say, no? So maybe we can do that chutzpah stuff also. And then if you want to take that svara, so it may work against us in the following sense. That means the poskim assume that meat, the chicken, fish, things like that, so those are, that's achilas aroi. So is that really true? When was the last time you ran the street eating a drumstick? I shouldn't ask that question. Eating a hamburger, without the bun. So Usually you think of any piece of meat, a piece of chicken, a piece of fish. So usually usually you run around the street with a piece of fish in your hand. That's more of a sitting down type of food. So maybe it's not as that. Everything is not for nafichu. That we're in the days of the Gemara, so Mizonos was a no-no chutzal sukkah, and everything shahakals were all okay. Maybe it's not as if it's mamash pakir, but Mizonos maybe are okay, and maybe all the bosom, the dag, and the chumatam, maybe all those things are a problem. This is the horror that some suggest. The Shabur doesn't quote. That's usually not assumed, though. We usually assume that if Allah was nikkah the way it was in the olden days, but it's hard to understand why exactly it should have changed. Is there another question?
Yeah, but that would mean that most things nowadays, I would say most bubbles, most foods that you eat, you can make both basically. It's most of these on your mindset. And you can find food in any set of bubbles, any category where there's a large amount of food.
So the question is, that normal for a person to eat these kinds of foods on the run? So most people, even a small piece of chicken, you know, on the run. It's very unlikely to do that.
If you want to, if you're
on the way somewhere. Well, I think your car has the status of like your house. Of course, you're moving house. That's not the. I eat lunch in the car at the time. So I don't think that's considered to be chutzla beisa. Chutzla beisa means you're running in the street somewhere.
Why you're not supposed to eat outside.
Yeah, right. But you're allowed to eat tashas. Think that tashas kind of food. You are allowed to eat outside. I don't know.
What about eating hot dogs like in a baseball game or things like that? Is that like on the run?
No, it is on the run. That's like a picnic. Yeah, a big picnic with 70,000 other people.
How about going to a restaurant?
That's also, that's like your house. That's your temporary house.
If the actual food itself is different, let's say you normally take a frozen meal out of the freezer, but now you're going to you got a nice fresh cooked homemade meal.
I don't know. It's hard to know. I don't know. The study just followed the clause in Shulchan Aruch. And forget this far about that. If you change it, it's very hard to know what the mitzvah should be.
I can take this one wasn't a rock. Wasn't it created a problem? I feel like where you wait for bracha, where you. I never understood how that. Like, it was like.
How is the person eating the Dunkin' Donuts? How should he be or should he not? There's another question. The bottom line is that. We just took my kids to Dunkin' Donuts the other day. So, Dunkin' Donuts. It's a major industry, and they're only like one table in the whole store. So obviously, Seich HaYosha dictates that most people are eating the donuts on the run.
But like,
how do you do it? So, that only means those kinds of things. That's not that that's considered to be a bizarre to eat pashot. It means for a guy to be walking down St. Nicholas Avenue, and all of a sudden he stops, he takes out his lunch, and he makes himself a tundra sandwich, and he eats standing on 185th and Nitzan. So that's not so appropriate. That's considered to be a derech bizarre. So, it's a derech bizarre. The Rambam writes, it shows that the person has no cover for himself. So it shows he takes everything in the world so zilzul, so then he's going to be, maybe he's going to be a made a chef. He doesn't take anything seriously in life. So, but if you have something that, if somebody would look at you and walking and eating ice cream, so no one would think that you're crazy for eating ice cream. If it's an ice cream cone, which is in Zonas, no one would think that you're nuts. Some stuff that's not a problem.
What about the issue of rocks, like you were saying?
So if it's all basically in the same place, let's say you can be standing on the corner, that's that would be okay, it wouldn't be a problem. If you're walking, you're able to see where you're from one end to the other, that's what we did. You see, then you have a shayla about the brachos. Normally shini mokos is considered to be a hefsek, let's say the guy still has the food in the mouth, but that's considered to be a hefsek. So Rav Moshe writes that you have a type of a food that's normal to keep in the mouth for a long time, it's like a candy. A gum or something. So Moshe writes, you don't say shini mokos, make a bracha in a can, then you go outside, you don't have to make a bracha. That's dakar b'kach, the way to eat it. So then the post can have another bracha. Let's say it's not a candy, it's an apple. So you're chewing on the apple as you're walking outside. So you have to, as soon as you walk out, you're doing, oh, whatever's in my mouth, make a new bracha. So some say maybe not. Maybe that's the definition, not really called as a knife. That may be helpful for the donor, maybe.
So you say this was the element in the car, like a half an hour away?
No, you're not supposed to be the element from the place where you wait. There's a bracha, which is food, which is called bracha chrem kol.
But then if you kick a door on the run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not advocating it on the run. I'm saying that people will do it.
If we're saying that a car that's confused
that you're moving by, you wouldn't be able to say that, you know, you start from point A and you're
No, that's not what that's going to ask. That's all. If you're on, you're on a boat, so you're on a plane, so that's not what that's going to ask. So I used to go up to camp, so I would stop my meal in New Jersey, but I would eventually, sometimes I would eventually get to Lake Home, Pennsylvania, so I was lunching for 3 hours straight. Okay, so that was my whole meal.
How long is someone supposed to, someone wait between when they initiate
a draft for an active event? Supposed to bench right away, so
what's that? Do you like camping?
It's probably better to bench when you're doing other things. Usually you're going to forget otherwise. You push it off for an hour, you're going to forget.
What's considered tying you to the meeting? I always wondered, like, can you like a sip of water for 20 minutes? And what's considered so part of it?
Maybe it's in Mishabur. No, Mishabur is like the base of his brachas. I think everyone wants to know. Back to Sukkah. Look at that. Look at that. Let's see. Look at that. Good. Anyway, back to our story. So comes the Gemara and says that just as there's a din of Achila by Sukkah, there's a din of Shein by Sukkah also. What if we're quite asleep in the Sukkah? So here the Gemara makes the distinction between Achila and Shein. The Gemara says that whereas Achila there's a cloud of Achila's Aroi is not considered to be a problem because the Sukkah, even a Shein's Aroi is considered to be a problem. Why? So the Gemara says there's no such thing really as a Shein's Aroi. As everybody knows, that even just sometimes all you need is a 2 minute head down on the Gemara and it'll keep you flying for another 10 hours. So the Gemara says even a Shein's Aroi sometimes can do the trick, so there's no such thing really as a Shein's Aroi in the realm of the Sukkah. So that's the din. Halacha l'maaseh that Shein is not more chomer than Achila. So the question becomes, question on Klal Yisrael that really the Rishonim are bothered with, is that if the Gemara says that it's not Misha, the din in Torah you're required to sit in the Sukkah, anyone who sleeps chutz l'sukkah is mevapel, and this is their Raisa, so how come there are many people who are not as careful about this as they should be? So are there any costs to the Torah?
Rishonim,
the
guys who got married.
Yes, it was over.
I'm
going to start. No, it's awful. So comes the Rabbah and says two possible coolers for to exempt people from sleeping in the Sukkah. So the first is the Din Mitzdayer. So the Din Mitzdayer, everybody agrees to. That's also learned that the Teshuvah came to do it. Tosfos writes that the Teshuvah came to do it means that you have to live in the Sukkah the same way you live in your house. So let's say I was living in my house, and all of a sudden in the middle of my house, it would get so unbelievably freezing, it would get so impossible to function in my house. It would be such a terrible smell, there would be bugs flying all around, it would be so hot or something. If I had another house across the street, I'd have to pick up my stuff and go across the street. Most people don't have that option, but if you have that option, then you would leave your house. So Tosfos writes, that's why the Gemara says that it's star is bottom in a sukkah, because you don't have to be in the sukkah any more than you would have been in your house. So just if it's star, you would leave your house, but now if it's star, you're permitted to leave the sukkah. So the Rama says that very often you have a situation that a person is in star when they sleep in the sukkah. Why they're in star? It's cold. So I'm all living in Poland, so I'm in Krakow, I'm from Poland, so. So the Rambam says that if it's too cold, so a person is mitzdayer. So therefore, they're going to be potter from shame. So of course, that depends on the metzias. Depends on the risk. Sometimes you get a nice balmy 70-degree night, so you're not mitzdayer. Sometimes it's kind of cold. So again, it's going to depend on the time and place whether we can vote this afternoon. If the person is really going to be mitzdayer, because the person is going to get sick, so that's for sure. What would be potter from sleeping in the sukkah? The Mishnah Berurah raises a problem about this tour of the star as it relates to sleeping. So basically what the Rambam is telling us is that you have a sukkah, the guy's eating his meals in the sukkah. Why isn't he mitzdar for eating? So the answer is that first of all it's in the middle of the daytime eating, or it's at the beginning of the night, so it's not as cold. And number two, it's not for that long, so he's not so mitzdar. He's able to pull off the meals in the sukkah. When it comes to sleeping, the whole night, the middle of the night, it's not part of the mitzdar. So Rishi Bura says there is a sheet that the Mordechai quotes in the Masechta Sukkah, the following interesting chumrah. Let's say a person builds a sukkah in a place where he's not going to be able to sleep in the sukkah. It's not going to be feasible, too dangerous to sleep in, but he's going to be able to eat in the sukkah. He's not planning on he'll sleep in another sukkah. I don't know what he'll figure out. He's not going to sleep the whole week, whatever. He's not going to sleep. So comes the Mordechai and says, he thinks that sukkah is possible. Why is the sukkah possible? Because that's the Chisron location for King Tadur. Because the Torah says that you have to live in the sukkah. So living, because that's the definition of living, the Chisron that says the Chila and Shena. So if a person can't do Shena in that sukkah, so that's not called a kosher sukkah, even for the purposes of Achila. That's a tremendous chiddush. It's a tremendous chiddush because what the Mordechai is doing, in effect, is taking the din of Teshuv Yeh Tadur, which the Gemara always presents as the din of the Gavra. Teshuv Yeh Tadur usually defines how you were supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. And comes to Mordechai, it turns into a din of the Chavtza. That a Chavtza of the sukkah, it's not really to kol mine dira. So just as you would never normally have a dream of making a house that was only for eating. Very nice, you spend $1 million of mice on the house, but it's only good for eating. Sleeping, where you can sleep after a good motel every night. So that's for sugar. So just a person would never do that with his house. So what did not mean, when a person tries to pull off that stump from the sukkah, so the sukkah is not going to be a mokom dira, so he's not going to be able to eat an achilon. So the Chacham Tzvi says that he doesn't think that's right. He says there's no mokom dira for that. He says, forget it, the patient gets to do the din in the ma'isa mitzvah. So whatever part of the mitzvah you're comfortable for, you exit the mitzvah, whatever part of the mitzvah you're not comfortable for, you're not going to be able to the mitzvah. The Chacham Tzvi says he has a raya from the fact that the Gemara says that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 tefachim and 7 tefachim. Three different sheets in the Tanoim, how big the sukkah has to be. The Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the sukkah has to be dalat amos by dalat amos. Why is that? Because that's like a bias. Just as in Luchos Mezuzah, the din is, you have a house that's less than dollar by dollar, so it's not chayv in the zuzah. Or in other areas of halacha, like the chazerim, so a house that's less than dollar by dollar, almost is not considered to be a bayis. So to a sukkah has to be a bacham dira, so it has to be like a bayis. So if it's less than dollar almost, but not almost, it's possible. So the other tenor disagree with Rabbi Dan Nasi, and the Shah Rabbi Sol, they both disagree with Rabbi Dan Nasi. So they had a machlekes within the disagreement. So both the Shah Rabbi Sol say that a sukkah doesn't have to be like a bayis. Why is that? So they can explain in the beginning of the sukkah that it has to be a dira, but it has to be a dira saroi, it doesn't have to be a dira keva. So the interviewer and us, they seem to understand that it has to be mamish like a house. Just as a house from mezuzah is dalal amas per dalal amas, so to a sukkah has to be mamish as a dalal amas per dalal amas. And the Shabbos still said that it has to be a dira, yeah, but a dira saroi is also good enough. So how much is a dira saroi? So dira saroi means you have to be able to get inside. So how big does it have to be in order to get inside? So the Gemara explains that 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim is big enough to get inside. 6 tvachim is an amma. So a person takes out about an amma. Nice sized person. It's about an amma this way. And if you ate a little bit too much on the first days of Sukkot, then you go out an amma the other way also. So whatever, you're about an amma by an amma. The Gemara says that most people take out about an amma by an amma. So therefore, 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim, that's the shear of what the Sukkot has to be. So that's what sometimes I would say. That's what Beisilo says. Come to Shammai and says, no, even that's not good enough. Because Beshammai says, you don't need Dalat Amos by Dalat Amos, but 6 Tvachim by 6 Tvachim is also not good enough. You need 7 Tvachim by 7 Tvachim. Where in the world did that come? Where did the 7th Tvachim come from? So the Gemara says, 6 Tvachim is good enough for the person, and you need another Tvachim to put your table in. Very, very small table, little tray. You need a 7th Tvachim in order to stick your table in. Why do you need your table for? So that was the Machlokes, the Riff and the Ran, the one with my high, what do you need a table for? So the Rif explains that the reason why you need a table is because the Shami happen to also hold that let's say a person's eating a tremendous sukkah, but they're eating right at the edge of the sukkah and the table is outside the sukkah. So the Shami says you're not yet into the mitzvah of the Rabbanan, Shami Yim Shachacha Shulchan, because you're afraid you may come to schlep outside the sukkah. So the Zayim of the Rabbanan, you may come to lean out of the sukkah and you can eat chutz the sukkah. So therefore the Shami says, when you have a big sukkah and your table's outside, so then the Rabbanan it's no good. So that's what the Rif said, that's what Beshav and the Shittasim say. If you only have a 6 tvachim sukkah, so the table by definition is going to be outside because there's no room for the table, so that's going to be a violation of the Gzer mid Rabbanan Shemim Shachas HaShukhar. So according to the Rif, Beshav is still agreement at Torah that the Shir sukkah is 6 tvachim by 6 tvachim. The requirement for the 7th tefach, according to Beshav, is only a chumah mid Rabbanan. And Beshav happens to disagree with that 7th tefach because they disagree with that Gzer. And the Ran says no. The Ran says that the din that you have a tremendous sukkah and your table happens to be outside, so that's only a chumah midrabanan. That's taka midrabanan. But if you can't even fit your table inside, so that's not even called a dira. That's the Ran uses a phrase called a dira sericha. So he says you can't. It's not even a bare minimum of living. The Shami disagrees on a level of their eyes and the Bishamah. The Shami say that 7th tefach is required in that Torah. because it's not enough just to have a person's body. You have to have room, at least chashma table. Whether you choose to put the table there or not, that's your prerogative. So with your abundant, you won't be guilty if you put it outside because of the gezeira. But in our Torah, you have to have the ability to put the table there. So why are we spending so much time on Beishamah? Because the verses we pass in Beishamah. This is one of the few cases where we pass on Beishamah. We pass in that you need a seventh tefachim, sukkah by seventh tefachim. So again, according to the Rif, that seventh tefach is only with the Rabbanim. According to the Rav, that seventh tefach is the Araizah. What do I see? I don't know what it is. Everybody agrees that we don't pass the Yehudah. Now, I see the Gemara in the Feirish, but we pass the Beishamah. Seventh tefachim by seventh tefachim is necessary. So comes the Chacham Tzvi and says, if you have a seventh tefachim sukkah, by seventh tefachim, how in the world are you going to sleep with such a sukkah? He says, it's going to be the most uncomfortable thing in the world. You're going to roll up like a ball, you're going to put your feet in, it's not shy. You're not going to be able to sleep in such a sukkah. So how could you be yotzei into the sukkah? So it must mean that what the Tanoim meant was, you can at least be yotzei chila. So you won't sleep in that sukkah, you'll sleep in another sukkah. But this little doghouse sukkah that you're going to make, so that's going to be good enough at least for achila. Achila, you can shut yourself in, you'll be all right. So comes a chavitzvi and says, and if the Mordechai is right, that any sukkah that's not roy, the chom mine dira, is not a kosher sukkah, so we should possible the seventh tefachim by seventh tefachim sukkah based on that cloud. We should say that the seventh tefachim by seventh tefachim is possible because it's not roy b'sheina. So hakoch, the sikkim be that it's not true. There is no such cloud. So the Mordechai would have to respond. What would explain is the Matiyah Shala. So yeah, you curl up tight enough, so you'll make yourself comfortable. You know, my skin, and you won't be so much tired. You'll figure out an eitzah, how to sleep in a comfortable way. But you know, Chanan, the Mordechai would say, if it leads you, that's mamash impossible to sleep in such a sukkah, so then you can't be yotzei even a chila. No, it doesn't matter. No, the Gemara says, let's say you're in the sukkah and it starts to rain, so you leave the sukkah, and now once you started to do whatever you're doing, let's say you got into bed and you're sleeping already, and the rain stops, so you don't have to have somebody come and bang you over there and wake you up to go down to the sukkah. And that's also called a start. Once you're ready to move back to your house, you have to go down again.
It's like when you give her, let's say you're doing something on, she's whatever, and it stops.
Yeah, but it's a different. No, 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 this is a different form. Because here, that's also called a start. You get out of your bed in the middle of the night, if you left because of the rain, that's also called a start.
a sukkah where the purpose is to keep us in Chosu Shafi as Bnei Yisrael. When you came to Chosu Shafi,
I don't know. So again, so the Mordechai has this Chumr and Chamtzi questions of Chumr. So come to Mishnah Berurah now and says, we try to follow this Mordechai. The Motana quotes this Mordechai. So Mishnah Berurah says, now he's got a problem. He says, the Ramah himself, who's Choshesh from Mordechai, says you shouldn't build the sukkah in a place where you can't do Shena, and you can't do Shena, you can't do Achila. So Mishnah Berurah says, maybe we can throw the Homer to sukkah out the window. How can anybody who lives in Poland, when it's cold, or the cold people up in Syracuse, so how in the world could you possibly be Yotzei Achila B'Sukkah if it's not Roel Hashena? Because if Lamai said an hour from now, you're going to turn around and say, I can't eat the Sukkah, I'm never going to be able to eat the Sukkah, it's 20 degrees outside. So in effect, what you have for yourself is a Sukkah Sheena Roel Hashena. So a Sukkah Sheena Roel Hashena is not only not acceptable for Sheena, not acceptable for Achilita. So Achira, these two Ramahs associate each other. The Ramah quotes the Mordechai, a sukkah in a dangerous place to sleep because it's not good even for achila. So having a sukkah in a cold area would be good even for achila. So if this kasha would be true, so then you can throw out all the sukkahs in any cold climate. So the Mishabura says, no, he thinks that's not as clear. The Mishabura says that he says, why don't you say that something is called the Eino Roi L'Sheina? That means that there's nothing you could possibly do to make it Roi L'Sheina. Let's say in the case of the Mordechai. So the Mordechai was talking about a guy who builds a sukkah dafka in a dangerous place. And he decides he's going to build a sukkah right smack in the middle of 185th and Audubon Avenue. So maybe that's not the smartest. So maybe that's not the smartest place to build a sukkah. So says the Mordechai, you went ahead and you built your sukkah in a place. And what are you possibly going to do to make that sukkah safe? There's nothing you can do to make that sukkah safe. That's called the Eidur Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah get a sukkah that's Eidur Rosh Hashanah because it's cold. What do you mean Eidur Rosh Hashanah? You get another blanket. You get another blanket. You get another blanket. You don't have blankets, you can't find blankets, you can't afford a heater, yeah. Because of technical problems. So says the Mishnah Berurah, that theoretically the sukkah mitzad atzmah, mitzad the chetz of the sukkah is really lekach l'sheina. So the fact that you maybe can't do it, so now you wing it, we have to pop you, but the guy in Tachlis comes to the rabbi and says, Rabbi, They don't have any blankets. They don't have any heater. The sukkah's freezing. So the rabbi has to say, okay, it's the potter. So you as a gav or a potter from the midst of sukkah. But in terms of declaring that the sukkah is not really shena, so that's very hard to believe. That's one side of the Mishnah Berurah. It's not a Mishnah Berurah. Another itza. He says that maybe the chiluk is as follows. Now, where did the Mordechai say that if you build a sukkah that's not really shein, you're not yotzei, that's if you have an option to do it otherwise. I mean, you couldn't build a sukkah in the front of your house, which was safe, and you dafka went ahead and you built it in a place where all the ganavim are coming. So you chose to build your house in a crazy place. And Mordechai say, you never build your house in such a place. If you were building a house in a place that would be too dangerous to sleep in, you would never do that. So therefore, it's not called the Mavon Dibra. Therefore, you're not yotzei even the sukkah shebis yamrim. Even vis-a-vis achila. But let's say you have no choice. Let's say you live in a terrible neighborhood. As wherever you would build your house, you can't sleep at night. No matter where you go, you would never be able to sleep at night. So says Mishnah Berurah. So your sukkah doesn't have to be the mechamed in your house. So just as if there's no eitzah to where you build your house, that you have two options and you chose the dangerous place. But everything is the same. So then says the Mishnah Berurah, that's not called a chisar of teshvei kedur. Let's say that lives in a bad neighborhood. So there's no sukkah that's safe at night. There's nothing you can do to make a sukkah safe at night. It's not that he chose to make to build a dock in a dangerous place. So the Mishnah Berurah is night, but that's not what the Mordechai was talking about. So the same issue when it comes to the cold. It's another reason not to sleep on it first. So the Mishnah Berurah says when it comes to the cold also, it's not that I chose dafka to build my sukkah in the North Pole. I happen to live in the North Pole. So if I build my house, I'd also build my house in the North Pole. So I do as best as I can. So I freeze at night. So what did I mean? In the sukkah, so I did as best as I could. So whenever I do it, whatever I put into my sukkah, whatever kaychas that I would have otherwise done for my house, so that's considered to be sufficient even according to the Mordechai. So whatever the limud chus and the other is, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Those who rely on the school of not sleeping in the sukkah because it's cold. So if the metzias is correct, then the time of
potter. If the stock, like if there's wood coming through your stock, that's what
It's also a sukkah from the ceiling. But it was just very, very high packed. I would say that the only way to make this sukkah comfortable is to pack on more moschach, so you won't be able to see the stars. But the other is still kosher. Okay. The Ramah, so the first clue of the Ramah about the star is not such a big chiddush. You have to figure out how it fits with the Mordechai, but in terms of being a kula, so it makes a lot of sense. Then the Ramah comes up with a real tremendous kula. The Ramah says he thinks that. And if a person is married, so then they're potter from sleeping in the sukkah, provided that the wife doesn't want to come out and sleep in the sukkah with them. Why is that? So the Ramah says the same possum, Teshu gain the duru. So the Ramah made up a drasha, ma diri ishri ishto, af sukkah ishri ishto. So if his wife is the camping spirit and she wants to come out for the overnight and she wants to stay there for a week, ma'atoy. But if she's not interested in doing that, well, let's say it's not, let's say he has a public sukkah, it's not sanuah for her to do that. So as long as she says she doesn't want to do it, it's never there, the husband's in the tie. So that would not be a fulfillment of teishu gein tadura, because madir ishri ishto, af sukkah ishri ishto. That's the Ramah's other kula. So the Vilna Gaon, and the Rabbi Avraham, and many of the Acharonim take issue with this Ramah. They say that there's no makor at all for this in the Gemara. If fakir, if anything, that if anything, the makor is fakir. The Gemara is a habamina. In Masechet Sukkah, the Gemara has a whole discussion with the women of Chayavos and Sukkah Nats. The Gemara says, "Don't have turos." So the Gemara says, "How do you know the turos are possible? What's a possible?" So the Gemara says, "Why do you have possible? That this man grew up. Why would anyone have thought that women of Chayavos and Sukkah?" So the Gemara says, "One day that maybe would have left out for Matzah. Just as Matzah the Chayavos, Chamishas, and so too the Chayavos and Sukkah. The last one is there." Then there was another month, and the Gemara said that I would have thought that Teishu gained Taduru, Mazir Ishri Ishto, Afsukha Ishri Ishto. So just as a man was together with his wife during the year, so to the Sukkah, the woman is Chayevas in Sukkah, Kamash Balon, they don't say that. So, first of all, that was a Havamina. And second of all, the Gemara was saying it in the opposite direction. The Gemara was saying it with Chiyuva. The Gemara was saying, Mazir Ishri Ishto, Afsukha Ishri Ishto. That means that you're. We wanted to be mechayev women based on that drasha. What the Ramah just did, he turned around and patted them based on that drasha. That's what the Ramah said. That the Ramah made this whole thing up. doesn't say it anywhere in the Gemara. But the Maaseh the Rambam said, the Hilgiyah the Rambam said, it's Machlokes the Gedolei HaPoskim. It's not the Lachria. The Rambam and Rav, the Maaseh the Rambam HaPoskim. Then if a wife doesn't want, so then the husband is not technically mechuyav to do so. So that's a shaila. And Rambam says that sometimes the Rambam is right, Allah mitameh. The Rambam didn't mean this. Rambam meant to potter because of teishu king taduru. So the Magen Avraham says sometimes you're going to be potter also in tzedakah. So the Magen Avraham says if it's a leil tevila, leil omer or something, so the husband wants to be together with his wife. So she doesn't want to come out to the sukkah, so he's going to be in a state of tzar. So the Mishnah Berurah, so the Magen Avraham says maybe that's a different p'tor. So he's invoking the old p'tor of the tzar, plugging in the situation of the married couple. But obviously that's the reason of the p'tor. Then of course it's going to depend on whether that's really the mitzvahs. So we hold like the Ramon, plank across the board, have to go for anyone who's married, his wife doesn't want to come out of the sukkah. So that would be a very good kula. So the ma'aseh, these are the two issues that the Ramon raised. These are the kula of the kohen or the kula of one's wife. I think it's a double portion that a lot of people are not careful about. I think it's really people should be more careful about is taking naps during the daytime, puts the sukkah. I think that there are no pools whatsoever to take a nap chutz l'sukkah for a very simple reason. And most of it, unless it's freezing cold the day, they also usually it's nice. They like today outside, and it's so beautiful. So 7 degrees outside, but kind of it's star at all. And what do you mean by ish, that a person, matter when it comes to sleeping at night, I mean, you can argue that a person would never go to sleep without his wife. But she ain't getting a nap in the afternoon. Nobody. Who can say they never take a nap if the wife's not with them? I don't know too many people who would make such a statement. So when it comes to short naps in the afternoon, when there's a dimin authority after sleeping in the sefer, because the Gemara Tzipa says there's no shiur l'dover, even the shenas aroi. So the guy wants to take a zah Shabbos nap for an hour. Every married man can say they never took a Shabbos nap in their entire life without their wife. It's a joke. Most married people, you have kids, so they never take a nap the same time. Switch off washing the kids. So you can't say madir ishto on naps. You can say that on sleeping at night. You can't say that on naps. So I think that it's a double portion that a person who's single and married, and unless it's mamish, freezing cold in the sukkah in the daytime, or sometimes in LA, you sleep in LA for sukkah, sometimes it was too hot in the daytime to sleep, and then every once in a while you're allowed to go back to the house to go into the air conditioning. But you live in New Jersey this time of year, you have a nice day like today, so then it's a double portion that a person is mechuyav bin haTorah to sleep in the sukkah, take a nap outside of the sukkah, and mamish a pitkul mitzvah der aisa. It's not my personal opinion, I think that's the plus. It's a puzzle push. You never take naps when it's eternal for light.
Your blanket over here.
It's any dark in your room? No. You pull the shades.
Yeah,
you close the door to something so much fun. Unless, sometimes like this, let's say there's a racket going on in the sukkah. Let's say people are talking in the sukkah, something like that. You know, sit around, and everyone, let's say you finish your lunch, and then you have company over, and they're schmoozing for another 3 hours. So you can't, that may be time to stop. Well, let's say sometimes they have a sukkah hopping, so everyone has to come to the rabbi's house. So I don't want to be hopped out of the sukkah, so okay, I want to take a nap in the house, and it's time, that's something else. But otherwise, you have a problem.
Also, if you're in the sukkah, it's like down the block from your apartment, so if you get the wall, it's like the block and then go take a nap, that's a problem also? Or? And that gets
also
the public sukkah, so it's probably
going to
be anyway.
It could be a strip of the star, because you're limited apartments, so you might have no answer. So you always, it's hot, maybe in the Chanam, maybe take a nap in the 186th in the Amsterdam, maybe a strip of the star, I don't know, figure it out. I don't know.
Where's why you get this?
Come to the first place, not the last place, come here. Why you
keep their sukkah?
The sukkah's there, it's built already.
That's
the old sukkah, I don't remember the old sukkah used to be. Hands don't even remember before you had kufa. The alleyway used to have a sukkah. The alleyway going from the main base managed to mosque used to have a sukkah before they had an awning, before there was an outside, before there was an awning. Hands don't remember before there was an awning there. No, don't remember. There used to be a sukkah. That used to be the sukkah. But that was even the newer one. The original, there used to be a tremendous sukkah in the back of Reuben. They used to have the cafeteria used to be open, Cholamoid, and it was a place people used to come. Amish people used to come. It was a restaurant. People used to come and eat in the sukkah. But I was a kid. So the wild cafeteria was Amish like a restaurant. There weren't so many kosher restaurants in every. When I was little, we used to come on Sunday nights. We used to come to Riverdale. There was no restaurants in Riverdale, no pizza stores, nothing. So there was one Chinese restaurant in Manhattan. It was a Shmuel Bernstein. You guys might have even heard of it. That was the only restaurant. There were kosher restaurants every block. Not like Cedar Lane down, you have 45 restaurants in Manhattan block. So one of the big makomas of Achiva in New York City was YU cafeteria. So they used to have a sukkah. They would have a big, big sukkah. They used to come for a Tom White meal.
Is it construction worker built the sukkah?
Well,
is it who built the sukkah outside the main base? Was that the construction workers, like janitor people?
I think so.
Is that a problem?
Is that a problem? Hope not. So the Gemara says, that sukkah's got bach. That even the guy can build a sukkah. Sukkah got bach is kosher. So the Yerushalmi said that even though people were not including the mitzvah, so they can also build the sukkah. They can also put up the stock and make bread in. So the Yerushalmi said that even though the sukkah is kosher, it's not the chadash gadol. They're supposed to put a little bit of the stach on the shei mitzvah. But the other, if you don't, so the sukkah is still kosher. The chachila, some of the stach is supposed to be put on the shei mitzvah. So some acharanim have a kula, and it's only a hidul lechachila to do that. So some of them say that by the more they have to do this hiddur, that's if the guy builds a sukkah on his own. But if I hire a guy, he's my worker, he's my maintenance guy, he's building a sukkah das me, so it could be that's kosher even lechatchila, that you don't even have to be mechadish b'dover. That's what most of the shuls rely on. I don't know how many shuls are not, that the rabbi comes in afterwards and throws out a couple of pieces of bamboo. I think that usually the maintenance guys build the whole sukkah. I don't know what they hold here. So rely on Moshe. Moshe quotes that kula. Moshe threw a few pieces up. Okay, good. So we're machmer. Now you sheep. We're very, very strong. Machmer. Okay. This din that Mitzayer is called with a sukkah. So there's another din that maybe the same halacha, maybe slightly different. But the Mishnah talks about Yodu Kishamu. The Mishnah says that if it's not the rain, so one is not mechuyim in the sukkah. Not only is one not mechuyim in the sukkah, but the Rishalmi says that it's nikra hedyot. The Rishalmi says that if a guy eats in the sukkah in the rain, so he's considered to be a fool. And the person shouldn't think that would be machmir mechuyim in the sukkah. So kamash lo Rishalmi, that's narish kind. It's not considered to be a mitzvah. It's never stam. You're getting wet for no reason. Not only is it nikra hedyot, you know, yom tov raises the shaila, maybe it should be awesome. So the Rishama doesn't say it's awesome. The Rishama just says you're a fool, doesn't say it's an isser. What could possibly be awesome? So the yom tov raises the question, there's a din, the Gemara has in the Masechta Sukkah, the Tes, a din in our Torah, that you're not permitted to be nen amiatzei sukkah. You're not permitted to, let's say the middle of sukkah, so I'm going to take out a piece of bamboo and use it for baseball bats. So that's also, we use it for firewood, that's also in the Torah. So, the sukkah is the Gemara learned that for Pesach Chag, sukkah is Lashem. Kishem shechal sheshemayim al chagiga, kach chal sheshemayim al sukkah. The whole all the yatzei sukkah are considered to be niskadish, like kedushas hektish. Well, let's say it's not real hektish. The mice assume sukkah is over, the hektish falls off. But it's a similar type of din of hektish. It's a din. The Gemara seems to assume that's really a din in the Torah. So the postal of Akasha, so in Cain, how could a person ever eat the sukkah? You being nedah from the sukkah. The Rambam holds that the Yisr Derais applies not only to the Schach, it applies to the walls also. The Rosh says that the Yisr Derais is only on the Schach. The walls are only with the Rambam. But the Rambam says the whole Sukkah is nitfos, but it's just hektish for the Torah. So how could you walk into the Sukkah and eat there? The walls are keeping the wall a little bit, the Schach is keeping the sun out a little bit, so you're being nenem in the Sukkah. So that's a joke to a question. Why is that a joke? Because the Yisr is to be nenem shemol b'shas mitzvosah. But while you're doing the mitzvah, that's exactly what the Torah says you're supposed to be doing. The Yisr is to take some of the sukkah down and use it for a baseball bat. That's the Yisr. But to be nen or while you're doing the mitzvah, that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. So comes the only Yontif and says that when it starts to rain in the sukkah, so you're not yet in the mitzvah, the guy wants to be a mach, he wants to be a hedyot. So he goes into the sukkah when it's raining, and even though it's raining and some of the water is dripping in, but he's still being nen a little bit because it's not pouring in totally. The bamboo, it depends how packed the bamboo is. It's probably stopping some of the water from falling onto his hat, so it's protecting him a little bit. So now you have a problem because the water is coming in, so he's mitzar, so he's putting in a sukkah. Yodik Shem is putting in a sukkah. On the other hand, he's being nedav in a sukkah, he's being nedav shlo b'shach mitzvasa. So shouldn't that be a problem? Shouldn't that be this is the right to be in the sukkah? Yishami doesn't say that. That's not a kasha in the other hand. So the answer to that kasha may be based on the following. Why? What is the nature of this din that Yodik Shem is putting in a sukkah? So the Poshem Shabbos, it's the stars, it's raining, it's uncomfortable, so it's a finish. So it's a regular dinner mitzvah. So there are some who want to argue that there could be something more within them. It could be that the reason why you have the shalom's button in a sukkah is much more than just the regular Torah mitzvah. The word sukkah so means schach, means the tent. So the tzel, so the work is supposed to be a sukkah. The sukkah tzel, the tzel yomim or something. That the sukkah is supposed to be a protection. So if the sukkah is not functioning with Torah's protection because the water is coming right through, so that's not called pschach, it's not called sabayis, it's not called a diri, a house with a hole in the roof. So it's nishkin house, it's not a roof. A roof which is leaking, it's not a roof. So it could be that a sukkah that's leaking through, so not the reason why you're potter is not only because you was a gav or a potter, because it starts potter and sukkah, but it's a shiri and a chef, so this is not called a sukkah. The Gron writes in the Zamashin, ancient sukkah law. That a sukkah in the rain is not called a sukkah. Maybe you have a sukkah that has a bad smell, so that's called a sukkah. There's nothing wrong with the chet of the sukkah. You use a gavra, it happens to be potter. But if you have a sukkah in the rain, so it's not functioning as a sukkah, it's not functioning as a bias, so that's not considered to be a shame sukkah, even if it's called a chet. So that's true. So that would be the answer to the Yonah Yontif's teretz. Because the Menem Mishnah Rag, the only time there's an Isser, at least in that Torah, being dead, I mean, Atzei Sukkah, it's only calls man that the Sukkah is still standing. Let's say the Sukkah falls down on Sukkahs, so then the Isser Hanoah and the Atzei Sukkah, they only do with the Rabbanim. So it could be that when it's raining, so it's not a Sukkah anymore. So the Kashan that you have to be happy to be dead, you're being dead in a Sukkah Shalom B'Shas Mitzvah. So the answer is not true, because it calls man that it's raining, so it doesn't have the shame of the Sukkah anymore. So in that Torah, the Isser falls off. There's only an Isser in the Rabbanim. So it could be the Isser in the Rabbanim wasn't instituted for the guy who's sitting in the rain and Meshuggah. He said the Rabbanan is, if a sukkah falls down, they shouldn't use the wood for firewood. That was much more normal. So the crazy guy standing in the rain, so even though true he's being dead, Shalom Shas Mitzvah, so that's like the equivalent of being dead, if a sukkah should not fall behind, so maybe that's not a Nisa Derai, so that's could be possible for us.
So if a guy wants to do a little sugar and he's eating
the sukkah
in the rain, so it's
not helping, it's not eating the sukkah. Right. So even if this Shalom Shas is wrong, he's still not helping him. He's still getting left for nothing. And Shalom says ahead of you.
What if he wants to miss it so much that he's tired of the rain? Like, it doesn't bother him because he'd rather eat there in the sukkah than be with just a little rain. Can you say that?
So, it's pouring. He's faking himself out. I mean, he has to ask himself this question. If it would be raining this much in his house, so when he comes out or not, when you go to another room or not, that's the question you have to ask. I mean, the Mishnah in sukkah says you have to do a shear. The shear is until the food starts to spoil. Because if you have a tafshil, and it starts to rain in, so one little drop of rain every 20 minutes is not going to ruin your food. But if it's a lot of rain, it's going to ruin your food. So the Mordechai writes that sometimes it's hard to make that shear. Let's say you're not eating soup, it's hard to know. So the Mordechai says, just ask yourself one question. One question is very simple. If I'd be sitting in my dining room right now, and I'd be sitting down at my Shabbos meal, and my ceiling would start to leak, and I have another option, I can take my food and go across the street, would I do that or not? So the answer is yes, then you're allowed to leave the soup. The answer is no, then you're not allowed to leave the soup. So we had this last year. Who came to the last year? Shmi Atzeres. So Shmi Atzeres, all the Bachurim came to eat in the house. It was raining. But it wasn't like Hazah pouring the Zah. It was drizzling a little bit. So when it's not pouring, then it's not a shy. But it's not raining all the time. It's not a shy either. The problem is a light, and it's raining a little bit. So it's just drizzling, dripping a little bit. So then remember, we hesitated a little bit. I was looking outside to try to see. Yeah, no, finally, we're making it. I think in the end, Shmi Atzeres, I'll be the Rabban anyway. So. Does someone have a question?
Okay.
No, so the Chayyadim draws a distinction between different types of potter. Sometimes you have a potter, because of mitzvah, who's being mitzvah, b'shas, yeshiva. So whenever you're being mitzvah, b'shas, yeshiva, and asukha, so that's for sure. That's for sure, not only pop, but that's mamish ikrehedya. The Chayyadim said something in that situation where I'm mitzvah, that I didn't have to get myself into this big mess, but I decided to be most inefficient and get myself into the mess, so I didn't have to. I was mitzvah, and it wasn't mechli, but nice, I overcame the tzar and I did it. But mishas, I should have been so pumped up, enjoyed myself. So the Chayyadim said, then for sure, you get a mitzvah. Let's say the guy was eating in the sukkah, and it starts to rain. Rain, so he takes everything inside, now it's inside the house. And that's it starts, he's in the middle of eating now inside the house, it stops raining. So the dinner is not mechuyav to go pick everything up and go back outside again. Because mitzvah, it's that tzar, the other guy to pick up everything again, nachamol. Let's say the guy says, no, I'm going to go the extra mile, I'll be moist and nefesh, I'm going to drive everybody crazy and pick everything up and go back inside the sukkah. On top of Tachlis, when you're sitting in the sukkah, it's dry as a bone. So the chayav says you can make bracha on that sukkah. That's not a mikra hedyot. You weren't required to do it, but in terms of you went in and went the extra miles, so then you would get a little bit of a tzvah.
If the grass rains and the whole point of and it's not called a sukkah if the rain comes in, so why do you build a sukkah in the first place so that it's possible for water to come into your sukkah?
We hope it doesn't rain. It's not supposed to rain. We live in New York, so it sometimes rains in sukkah. It's not supposed to rain.
Well, like it doesn't rain there. It starts like the rainy season.
It doesn't rain. Usually it doesn't rain around town. It's not supposed to. Anyway, so when did the Gemara make this comment? There's Lav Shem Sukkah. So we made this comment concerning the first night of Sukkah. So there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim. The first night of Sukkah is when a person is mechuyev to eat in the Sukkah in the rain. Why in the world did anybody think that the first night is different? So the Gemara that comes out in Sukkah learns out from Pasuk that Chamish Asa, whereas the rest of Sukkah, so there's no chiyuv to eat in the Sukkah. If a person wants to eat potatoes all week, so you don't have to eat in the Sukkah. Moshenka, in the first night of Sukkah, so then you have a special chiyuv to eat. How do you know that? That's learned out from Chag HaMatzah. Just as matzah, you don't have to eat matzah all week, you can eat potatoes. So one of the first night is a mitzvah chiyuv to eat matzah. So when they're not in the sukkah, there's a mitzvah chiyuv to eat in the sukkah on the first night. So the Rishonim seem to have a machlokes is what's the nature of that limud for matzah. So on the one hand, the mitzvah is formulated as the sukkah's teisha shivas yomim. And teisha came to do means ibay och, ibay loch. That goof of the pasuk of teisha came to do teaches us you don't have to eat the sukkah all week. If you want to eat other foods which are not chayav, so there's nothing wrong with it. Just as in your house, sometimes you don't eat things that you don't always eat bread in your house, you don't always eat cake, you don't always eat desserts. So you have an option of eating chutzpah sukkah, those types of food, and there's really, technically speaking, nothing wrong with that. It's not a nice thing to do, you have chayav as much sukkah as you can, but pure halacha, there's nothing wrong with that. So just as by matzah, you're not allowed to do that the first night, so to by sukkah, you're not allowed to do that. So how do you understand that direction? So the Rishonim seem to have machlokes, but the Torah is telling us that there are really two different types of mitzvahs you should do with sukkah. There's yeshiva b'sukkah as a rishus, which is the whole week. Whereas in the first night, it's yeshiva b'sukkah b'taras chayva. But the nature of the mitzvah is leishiv b'sukkah. It's the same mitzvah sukkah, just that little prod of a difference that it's not b'taras rishus anymore. And others seem to say no, that the nature of the mitzvah on the first night is fundamentally different than the rest of the week. The rest of the week is the mitzvah yeshiva b'sukkah. And the first night is the mitzvah achila b'sukkah. And the mitzvah is just to eat a kedayis, just to eat the sukkah. That's it. The nature of the mitzvah is not a yeshiva b'sukkah. That's why tzaka. Maybe one of the reasons that some Rishonim say that you don't even have to eat kveitz in the first night. It's enough to eat a kedayis in the first night. Because the name of the mitzvah is achila. Other Rishonim have a different reason for that. Other Rishonim talk about you do have to eat a kveitz. So that's a big machlokes. How literal do we take this this limud from matzah? You say it has to be mamish limud the matzah. Like the Torah's Kohen says, as a Havamina, it's a Havamina that you have to eat matzah on the first night of Sukkot. Just as Chamisha also by matzah, by Pesach, means it has to be matzah, so to by Sukkot it has to be matzah. Kamash, well, it's not true. The thing is, you can be Yotzi with Chala also. So the Prima Gondam writes that, yeah, he thinks you can be Yotzi with Chala, that's true, but it has to be a Chala only. It can't be a matzah shira. What does that mean? Just as by Leil Pesach, you can't be Yotzi with egg matzahs, so too on Leil Sukkot, you can't be Yotzi with egg Chala. So a Chomish from the Prima Gondam. One of the collector's items, and you're not yet to the midst of their ice, and she's the sukkah the first night, and you have egg challah. So most people don't follow that. Mishabur doesn't even quote this chumrah. Most people have never heard this chumrah. Some people follow this, but most people never heard this. So the Pirogodim seems to be really taking this limud from matzah very, very seriously. So some Rishonim also took it very, very seriously to such an extent, made the following mashal. Let's say you're in the middle of having a seder, a Pesach night, and your ceiling caves in and starts to leak from upstairs. So you tell me about the matzah. You have to eat matzah, even though it's yom yishav, you're in mitzvah. With the nami, you have to eat in the sukkah, even though it's yom yishav, you're in mitzvah. That's what some rishonim say. No rishonim say nothing doing. That the nature of the mitzvah is not a chima. The nature of the mitzvah is yeshiva. So we yeshiva. We have a klal for that. The sukkah's teisha shiva is yomim. Teisha became tadur. So finished. End of discussion. Comes the Ramagon and says that he thinks that you can't be yotze in the rain the first night for a different reason. Nothing to do with the din of Teishu Kain Tadura. Not because of that. Even if the mitzvah is achima, the mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah. So the Gra says, yes, the mitzvah is to eat in the sukkah, but when it's raining, it's not called a sukkah. If he didn't, it's not considered to be a sukkah. It's not called a sukkah. So you can cope with whatever the nature of the mitzvah is. Achille Yeshiva, and then tomorrow, Tachas says the girl, if it's ancient sukkah, it's not called a sukkah. So then the Lechera, one cannot call a mitzvah whatsoever.
Wait up until it stops raining.
You're supposed to wait until it stops raining first. I know they say it's not true. They said that you follow what the Rambam says, that we're not sure what the din is. We're not sure what the yotzei in the rain or not. So that's what the Adminig is to make up shara. If it's really raining the first night, so you go and you make kiddush, you eat some challah, but we don't make a leishah b'sukkah because it could be that you're not yotzei. It could be to make your head yotzei even on the first night. But then after you make that first piece of challah in the sukkah, then you can eat the rest of the meal in your house. And then, if the rain stops later, then you should go back to the sukkah and eat again, because maybe you weren't yotzei the first time. So if you talk about yotzei in the rain, so you're yotzei already, there's no need to go back and eat a second piece of challah. But in the slow that you weren't yotzei the first time, so now you're mechuyav in the Torah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah passes. That's what you should do. And then the Mishnah Berurah says that if you went to sleep already, so then you're not mechuyav to get out of bed and to go see at 3 o'clock in the morning where the rain stops. The Mishnah Berurah says the Marusha. He says that if you chayav in the rain, so then you're yotzei already. If you're potter in the rain, so that means the p'tur of the star kicks in even on the first night. So to get out of your bed in the middle of the night and go get dressed and go down to the sukkah, so that's also called the star. So the Mishnah Berurah says the Mamar Shachar, because if you're already sleeping and then you wake up, all of a sudden you notice the rain's gone, you're not looking to get up. So others disagree with that Pesach and Mishnah Berurah. They say that based on the Gra, that chayav in the Mishnah Berurah is not correct. That it could be that the p'tur of the star does not apply the first night. It's a din of achila, not a din of yeshiva. And even though it's a din of achila, you still won't yotzei with the first kizayis in the rain, because it's not lahavshim sukkah. So the p'tur mitzvah is taka doesn't apply. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you now have something that has a shem sukkah, that's no longer dripping, so you have an opportunity to eat in the sukkah, so you taka mechuyav, then a Torah to go eat and to get out of bed, because mitzvah part of the sukkah doesn't apply in the first night. So that's machlokes Mishnah Berurah and many others, the time that svara Mishnah Berurah is not correct. Just to a little different Cyrus before Yom Kippur.